I want to talk this morning about eager expectation. Today is December 13th, 2020. Got about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks left in this year. Coming to an end of a tumultuous year. Of course, we don't know what this afternoon's going to bring, so obviously we don't know what next year's going to bring. But I'm wondering if we have an eager expectation. If you take a look at the picture on the front of the bulletin, sometimes you're asked to evaluate things. You know, how is our service? Marginal, poor, satisfactory, very good, excellent, written in, awesome. Do we really believe that the God who knows the end from the beginning, who has us engraved in the palm of his hands, who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, doesn't know what's going on in the world around us? And if we trust that God who loves us and he says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you to give you a future and a hope, that God isn't at work in something, do we really believe him? Do we really believe that he is God? Or do we get wrapped up in our circumstances? Do we get so bound up in what we see going on around us that we lose sight of the fact that God is working behind the scenes? That if you go back into Matthew or Luke, and we're not going there, but if you go into Matthew or Luke and you look at the genealogy of Jesus, you look at some of those people involved. Okay? You had Rahab the harlot. Okay, probably not the best choice of person to hang out with, but God worked in her. You have Manasseh, who Scripture says was the most evil, wicked king there was, is in the genealogy of Jesus. You have all of these people in there, good, bad. Ahab. Remember Ahab? And I'm not talking about the one after Moby Dick. I'm talking about the one that was married to Jezebel. He's in Jesus' genealogy. He was the son of David. It's the lineage that comes down to the Messiah. The perfect one. So even when things are so messed up around us, God is at work. And if we truly believe that God is at work and God has a plan and a purpose, then we have to look past our circumstances to have an expectation that God is doing something wonderful. I don't know about you. Some of the events in the last month and a half. Actually, we can go back farther than that. Some of the events in the last quite a few years have really gotten under my skin. I have been angry. Not a good spot for the preacher to be, really, you know. The preacher should not be the guy that's mad. You know, I don't want to be like the old Gran Torino movie. Oh. Get off my lawn! You know? I don't want to be that guy. I want to be somebody who shows the love of God. And if I allow the outside circumstances to get in the way that I'm not nice, it affects my witness, but also is just painful to the people around me. Many of you know I've got a pinched nerve in my leg. I've been in a lot of pain for quite a while. And yesterday I got caught snapping at my wife. I won't say I caught myself because she caught me before I did, you know. And it hurts me that the outside circumstances are impacting who I am and who I'm supposed to be. I am a child of God. I am a servant of the Most High. I am a witness of the great things God has done in my life. And then circumstances get in the way and I forget what it is I'm supposed to be doing. And I hurt the people around me. Or I'm angry at the people around me, or I destroy my witness with a sharp word. I don't know if you guys do it. I do. I need your prayers. Because Jesus isn't done working on me yet. My face does not yet glow so much that I have to put on a veil because the glory of God shines through like it did on Moses. That's not who I am. But God is changing me. Praise God, I'm not the person that I used to be. So I want to talk about having an expectation, an anticipation of what it is that God is doing. Starting in Isaiah 64, beginning with verse 1. A psalmist crying out to God says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence, as the fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence." Let me stop just for a moment. Do we ever get so frustrated with the things going on around us that we cry out and say, "God, why haven't you fixed this yet?" What's the first song we sing? "I was sure by now that God, that you would have reached down and wiped our tears away and stepped in and saved the day." There's still things going on. We still need God's grace and God's mercy. The psalmist here in the book of Isaiah is crying out, "God, why don't you fix this?" Verse 3, "When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down, the mountain shook at your presence." So he's just said, "You've already shown yourself mighty in other ways, in other times. Why aren't you doing it now?" Can we look back on our lives and see times where God has stepped in and just miraculously done wondrous things in our life? I can. I know that God is real. God has worked in my life. God has protected me. I should be dead many times over. But I'm here. I shouldn't be able to walk. But I'm here. I'm standing on my own 2 feet. And in pain or not, I should not be able to do here. The doctors told me that I would never walk normally again. And it would be months before I could hobble. I don't know about you, I'm a little stubborn. Within a month, I was walking around town carrying my crutches. I had been hit with a forklift, chipped the bone in my leg, cut the muscles back, almost amputated my leg. They said, "You will never be able to walk normally again." Here I am. That's only one of the many things that's happened. God has shown himself marvelous, shown himself miraculous in my life time and time and time again. And yet still, I'll get carried away by the situations going on around me. I'll get frustrated by what's going on around me. And I'll take my eyes off Jesus. Does it happen to you? Verse 4. "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned, and in these ways we continue, and we need to be saved." It's Isaiah talking, but it's a psalm of Isaiah. He says, "We need to be saved. We need you, God. And God, you pay attention." Verse 5 says, "You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways." When we pay attention to God, that he is at work, we recognize his grace and his mercy in our lives. That's how it was worded back in Isaiah. This is referenced in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we'll go there. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, beginning with verse 9 says, "As it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him." So when we pay attention to God, we can't imagine the good and wonderful things he has in mind. Remember, when we try to plan things out, when we try to figure out what God's going to do, I'm wrong. You may not be wrong, but I'm wrong when I try to figure out how God's going to fix something. But when I trust that God is the one in control, God is the one who knows the end from the beginning, God is the one who knows what it's going to take in my life, in my brother's lives, in people around me, in the people we encounter, God's the one who knows what it's going to take in their lives for them to touch and turn, and even whether or not they will. But if we trust that God is the one who brings the increase, as Paul talking about Apollos, he says, "I planted in Apollos' waters." He says, not the one that plants or the one that waters is anything, but working together, it's one plants and one waters, and God gives the increase. God is the one who brings the results. Our job is just to do what God has called us to do. To be the light he's called us to be the witness he's called us to be, to trust him in our circumstances. And when we do that, we see God doing wondrous things. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Paul just said that God's Spirit speaking to our spirit, speaking in our hearts, will teach us His ways and guide us. God is the one working in us that will allow us to recognize the things He's doing in our lives. Praise God. That means we don't have to get wrapped up, bound up, confused by things that are going on around us. What we need to do is put our faith and trust in God, knowing that He will give us the answer. He will even reveal the things that He's doing. Scripture says in one place, God will not do anything except He reveals it to His servants, the prophets. Did you ever think about that? Even when we may not know what's going on, God's talking to somebody. So the goal is for us to be in tune with the Spirit of God so that we can have a peace in the middle of the turmoil. We can have a peace no matter what's going on, recognizing that God is the one who directs us. God is the one who guides us. God is the one who leads us. In Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, Paul again in another place says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice." Now, what Paul has just talked about here, just before this, was he talked about being in chains and some people going out and spreading the Word of God because it was just a wonderful thing to do, and they recognized the God working and God working in their lives and sharing it on. And other people were going out and they were preaching just to try to cause trouble for Paul. Just to try and stir up turmoil. And Paul says it's okay, because either way, the gospel of God is being preached. Either way, the word's getting out there. It's up to God to bring the increase in them. Verse 19, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul's writing to the Philippians. He is in jail in Rome. You know your history. You know that he never got out of jail. He was executed, but not right off. And he had an opportunity to minister to the guards that were around him. He had an opportunity to minister to people that came to visit. He had an opportunity to send out people. He says, you got people out there that are preaching because the Spirit of God is upon them to share the word. You've got people out there that are preaching just trying to make things worse for me. He said, but it doesn't matter, because I trust that God is at work. And even though I might not recognize, or I might not appreciate, or I might not want the circumstances I'm in, God is getting glorified, and that's the important thing. My trust is in Him, not in my circumstances. Talked a few minutes ago about how recent events have really been weighing me down and have really been... Well, I found myself angry quite a few times. I've got my eyes off of the things of God. I've got my eyes off of trusting that God is at work, and trusting that it doesn't matter whether I live or die. It doesn't matter what happens from my own personal perspective. What matters is that the will of God be made manifest. You know, we pray the Lord's Prayer: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But how many times do we really mean, "God, do it my way. God, let my will be done on heaven as I'm doing it right here." No, we want God's will to be done, not only in our lives, in heaven and in our lives and in the world around us. Because God is the one who sees the end from the beginning. God is the one who knows what's going on. God is the one who has a plan and a purpose in mind. Scripture says that Jesus came in the fullness of time. Now there's prophecies of a coming Messiah all the way back in the beginning of Genesis. All the way back. There's going to be a Redeemer. When did it happen? We already had a flood. And we had, you know, the earth dividing and all of these other things that took place before we ever got a Messiah. But in the fullness of time, in God's timing, it works out. In God's timing, it works perfectly. Do we learn to trust that? Psalm 62, verse 5. Says, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. That's one of those things you ought to like. I don't have any tattoos. I was going to get tattoos when I first joined the Navy. My mom made me promise I wouldn't get one my first hitch. By the time I reenlisted, I no longer wanted one. But that'd be one of those, if you were a person who was into tattoos and wanted to tattoo scriptures, that would be one to you. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. That should be the one, the note we have put on our print, or one of the many scriptures that we have placed around our house. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. Do we trust that God is the one who is going to guide us? Do we trust that God is the one who is in control? Or do we look at the turmoil going on around us and says, not even God can fix this? God can fix this. Oh, yeah. Seem to remember hearing about a boat builder that said, not even God could sink this ship. That didn't work well. When we trust God, when we trust Him or trust Him to guide us no matter what's going on around us. When we trust that God is the one in control, God is still God, and God has a plan and purpose for each and every one of our lives. The Bible tells us that God is long-suffering toward us. It means He is very, 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 very patient. Praise God. If God wasn't very, very, very patient with me, I'd have been dead one of those times He had the opportunity. I got a haircut last week. And as the girl's cutting my hair, I'm thinking, while you're there, take a little note of that object lesson. I have a 9-inch scar on the side of my head where I had a foot-long piece of wood stuck in my head. It was ample opportunity for me to have been taken out. But God is in control. Back to verse 6. Actually, back to verse 5, start over again. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. The psalmist says, doesn't matter what's going on around us. Trust God. Trust God. God is our fortress. God is our shelter. God is our strength. God is our guide. God is our rear reward. God is our strong tower. God is our defender. He is our shield. He is our buckler. All of these things are listed in the Psalms, talking about trusting God because God shows Himself faithful in our lives. There's a passage that says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are cast down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Where are we putting our trust? Are we putting our trust in God? Are we expecting God to come through and do what He said He's going to do? Or do we just get wrapped up in circumstances? Do we just get wrapped up in the things that are going on around us and lose sight? Do we take our eyes off the things of God? Guilty. Okay? Guilty. But I know better. And because I know better, there's a drawing to pull me back. Praise God. And God continues to work in me, continues to work in each and every one of us to seek His face. But we need these reminders. There is going to be turmoil around us. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Says another place, Peter says, consider it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to test you, as though some strange thing happened. I always liked the way that was worded. As though some strange thing happened. He says, we all go through things. So when we look at the turmoil around us, or if we have, you know, maybe we've, because of COVID, we've lost a job, or been separated from loved ones, or whatever has come up, had plans change, have people we can't see, have whatever the situation is, and we get wrapped up in the circumstances, we get our eyes off of the things of God. But if we have an eager expectation that no matter what is going on, God is still in control, God is still God, God still loves me, God still has a plan and purpose, and God has promised to see me through. He has brought me this far to continue to lead me on the path that He's called me on. He has not brought me this far to leave me right here. He has not brought you this far to leave you right where you are. Scripture says, be of good cheer, little children. It is the Lord's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And doesn't matter where you are on the journey along it, God is still at work in each and every one of us. I'm not going to do the last passage of Scripture. But I want you to think about that. When you get home, you can read the passage of Scripture. But I want you to think about that. God has not brought you this far to leave you here. God has not brought any of us this far to leave us here. So if we'll recognize that, then we can have an earnest expectation of the things that God is going to do. We may not know what it's going to be. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things the Lord has prepared for them who love Him. That's what the Bible tells us. We read that just a couple minutes ago. If we can't even imagine how good how good God's plan for our lives is, we should be eager in expecting God to bring it to pass. We should be eager in anticipating God showing Himself mighty. We should not be distracted by things going on around us. We should not be distracted by turmoil, by conflict within families, because these things are going to happen. There's going to be turmoil. There's going to be men's heart failing them for fear. The love of many growing cold. Iniquity getting worse and worse. All of these things the Bible tells us is coming. Yet God has called us for His plan and for His purpose. And He hasn't called us to leave us here. He's called us to draw us into His presence. He's called us to draw us closer to Him. He's called us to become vessels fit for the Master's use. Praise God. We have an earnest expectation, an earnest anticipation of trusting that God is going to do something wonderful. Or do we just look at our circumstances and say, boy, I wish God would take care of this. Instead of saying, boy, I wonder how God's going to fix this. Because this is going to be awesome. Do we recognize that God is doing great and wondrous things which we cannot even imagine? Praise God. Father, we come before You, thanking You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Father, for Your promise. We thank You, Lord, for Your grace and for Your mercy. We thank You, Father, that You are the one who directs us, who heals us, who leads us, who guides us. And Lord, You have shown Yourself mighty in so many ways. Father, forgive us for getting our eyes off of You and onto circumstances, getting our eyes off of You and onto relationships, getting our eyes off of You and onto our own misery. But let us instead, Father, focus on the great and wondrous things that You are doing. For You are doing great and wondrous things in this land. Great and wondrous things in our hearts. Great and wondrous things in the people around us. Father, and we trust You and we rely upon You, knowing, Lord, that Your ways are right, that all of Your ways are yes and amen, that You are at work doing wondrous things. So, Father, no matter what the turmoil, no matter what the storm, no matter what the situation, we rely upon You. And we give glory and praise, knowing, Lord, that You are worthy at all times. Amen. Praise the Lord.